And let me say this. There is a resurgence of law keeping being preached today. There's a resurgence of it. It's always been there, but it's this thing is starting to accelerate. I'm not asking you, I'm asking a question just for people to throw out some answers here. How do you get a breakthrough with God? What's the first thing that just, I just want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear this stuff today? What can you do to get a breakthrough? What are some of the things to do when you need to get a breakthrough? Somebody tell me.
Fast and pray.
Okay, fast, pray.
Obey.
What else? So I saw somebody doing this, so I'm gonna say money, give.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, I really need to hear God. I really need to get to God. What can I do? What are some of the things that we think about? In addition to that, well, then we'll just stay with those. All of those are works.
Yep.
never thought about it like that, Brother Darren. Thought about it like that.
Yeah, those are works. Now, should we fast?
Yes.
Should we pray?
Yes.
Should we give?
Yes.
So everything that we've talked about that are works, they are works. Will any of them get us a breakthrough? By getting a breakthrough, what we're saying, get God to move. Will any of those things do it? Are y'all thinking or you don't want to answer? None of those things will get God to move.
Wow. That is not what's being taught in churches today.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. So we're telling people, if you want to get God to move, if you need a breakthrough, if you need this, if you need that, this is what you have to do. Say, but wait a minute, Brother Darrell. You mean if I like really pray and stuff like that and get all the sin out of my life and all that good stuff, get right with God? Isn't that what we say? Get right with God. Already, well, the basis of the gospel is that you're already right.
Already right with God, yes.
That's the basis of the gospel. So what we need is not to get a breakthrough. What we need is a word from God. That's all we need. Is a word from God.
Yes.
How do you get today, how do you get a word from God?
His word, read the Bible.
His word, read the Bible.
His word, yeah.
Open up the book.
The book.
And read. And God will speak to you out of the word.
Yes.
He will speak directly to the thing that you're trying to get a breakthrough about. And he may tell you to do this. Well, the example of your faith is that you believe what God told you to do. And the way that you'll know that you have it is because you'll do what God told you to do.
Amen.
That's faith. That's the simplicity of faith.
That's good.
Question. When I just went through that little section right there, how many of you all heard God?
I heard God. It's just everything we're mentioning is based on some works and doing. Well,
yeah, but here's my question. When I was talking about what I was talking about how to get a breakthrough, how many of you all actually heard God?
I did.
Speaking to you. about something that's been on, you know, that you've been on, you've been praying about it, you've been thinking about it, you've been going through something. And when I just went through that, it was like something went, something clicked. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's hearing God. That's a way that we hear God. You can be reading the scripture and all of a sudden that thing just come alive. Oh my goodness. I understood the judge will live by faith, but when I read it this time, it's just like, it was just like I just heard God speak to me. Because I've been struggling with this. Oh, the just will live by faith. I've heard it preached, taught, sung. But that scripture came alive to me.
It's good.
And in that word is the faith to obey. That's grace. Huh. Okay. So that's how kind of our faith and our works work together. So we should have works in our life as believers. The works don't save. The works are a product of us being saved.
Yes.
Okay. Is this helping anybody?
Oh,
this is why we can't get through chapters at a time in the word book, right? But I would rather you get the highlights and get it.
That's right.
Than just get you a lot of information. You can quote the whole thing, but you still don't know what it says.
Come on.
I don't. That's you, well, y'all know me. I'm not into that. But at any rate, So back to Abraham. Now, did this happen, verse 10, before or after he was circumcised?
Before.
It happened before. So even his circumcision, it was not his circumcision that got him his standing before God. This was the basis of what Paul's trying to convey to the Gentiles, because those who were circumcised taught it's your circumcision.
Yeah, be circumcision, yeah.
You have to be circumcised. As opposed to Abraham, where we say, no, you have to believe. This is the conflict. This is it. So it was before, it was not after. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So it's not because he was circumcised. I'm trying to figure out, do I want to bob and weave through 4, 5, and 6? I think I will. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the ancestor, now watch this, of all who believe without being circumcised and who have thus righteousness reckoned to them. But he's also the ancestor of the circumcision, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow the example of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So he is the father of all, circumcised, uncircumcised, Jew, Gentile. You see how this is working? Mm-hmm. Now, but remember, this is the gospel that we're reading. This is the gospel. So let's see the connection. What's the deal? What was the main emphasis of circumcision? What did circumcision do? It brought them into what?
Covenant.
Mm-hmm. And it's referred to as a circumcision.
Circumcision.
He's the father of the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Right? Romans chapter 6. And let's start, let's go up to chapter 6. No, I don't want to go that far yet. Go back to Romans chapter 5. And I want to start at verse 12. And then we'll stop here for tonight. And then this week, your homework assignment is to read chapters 4, 5, and 6. That's 3 chapters. Okay. Romans chapter 5. And let's start at verse 1, but I won't get to where I want to get.
Let's
start at Romans chapter 5 and let's see what happens. Therefore, since we are, this is a result of our justification because of the righteousness of God with what he did in Christ, which we see lived out in Abraham. Everybody with me so far?
Where did you start? Romans 5, what? Verse.
Well, we're going to start reading at Romans chapter 5, but yeah. I'm trying to make sure everybody's with me with what we covered in Romans 3 and 4.
Okay.
With Abraham and all of that. Okay, so now we're going to tie it in. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, just like Abraham, he was justified by faith, we're justified by faith. Okay. And since we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through who we have access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of what?
The glory of God.
The glory of God. When did man lose the glory of God?
Sin. After the fall.
In the garden.
In the garden. So we're on our way back at Adam.
Yep.
All sinned. Humanity lost its glory. You know, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. All of that good stuff. Okay, so we had the glory of God at one time, humanity. But Adam lost it because of disobedience.
Yes.
Which is why Genesis says that after they transgressed, they knew that they were what?
Naked.
Were they clothed before they fell?
No.
Think before you answer.
They were clothed with righteousness.
They were clothed with the righteousness.
They were clothed with righteousness and the glory
of God.
Of God. Remember we read the psalm, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit? You have crowned him with glory and honor. That's talking about Adam before he sinned. Now we have been justified in Christ and we have access to this grace in which we stand and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. When will the glory of God ultimately be restored in us?
When Jesus comes.
When Jesus comes. That glory is so powerful, it's going to raise the dead in Christ. We which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What's doing it? It's the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
So Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. We've preached and taught that Christ in you is the hope of glory, which means you're going to go to heaven. That's how a lot of people read that verse. We're going to be glorified at the second coming. And I don't know about y'all, but to me, that's good news. The longer I live, the better it sounds. Say, Lord, a day is going to come. I'm going to be able to stand up again and my knees don't start cracking. This old frail body that is still subject to the penalty of sin, one day is going to be changed. I ain't going to have to worry about sin, sickness, nor disease. Why? Because I'm headed for glorification. So no matter what condition I find myself in, I have peace. Because just like Abraham could say, oh, I'm talking to somebody. Just like Abraham could say, when he raised that knife and he was going to kill him, he said, yeah, I'm going to take him up here and I'm going to kill him. But you know what? I'm coming back and I'm bringing the boy with me. Because God said, that's my seed. Mm-hmm. God made a covenant with me. So no matter what happens in the natural, whatever God said about me is coming to pass. Oh, man. If I was in church, I'd say, stand up on your feet and give God a hand of praise. Ain't that how we do? That's how we do. But this is good. Imagine if this is what people were hearing preached to them every week. How do you think it would change the life of believers? Do you think they would want to go out and start talking about Jesus? Absolutely. People say, how you got peace? All that stuff going on in your life. Oh, let me tell you how much time you have. Let's pull up a chair. Let's get a cup of coffee. That's being a witness. It's not going and witnessing. My life is a witness. Mm-hmm. And I'm only going to say what God says. I'm not going to speak based on what I see. That's what Abraham didn't do. He knew he couldn't do it in the natural. He knew his wife was too old. So he didn't trust in what he could do in the natural. He believed God. Mm. And we know he did based on what he did and what he said. That's called faith and confession. See, that's the balance of the faith message. Is this helping anybody other than me?
What did you say? That's faith and confession? Is that
it's
what
faith,
you said?
It's faith and confession.
Faith and confession.
Right. You know, what the Word of Faith movement started out teaching correctly before they let capitalism come in and turn it into a get-rich-quick gospel. Because that's what the Word of Faith movement originally was bringing back to the body, was an understanding of faith and confession was the second foundational principle. Somebody tell me.
Faith towards God.
Faith towards God. So they came in given the understanding about the righteousness of God, which is what we're reading. God's right. God does it. You just have to obey God. You have to believe the word. Now, because of you believing the word, you agree with what God says. That's your confession. It's not fake it till you make it, which is what his, that's what has, it's turned into. You want a practical example? I'm going to give you a practical example and then tell you what I always used to tell folks. I'm believing God for a better job. How many of y'all have heard people say that? You know what my question always is, or my response always is, you putting in any applications? Because if you ain't putting in no applications, you obviously don't have faith because your works don't match up. See, this is practical. This is practical. Where'd we stop? I knew I wouldn't get through this. All right. Let's start at verse 3. We started with the glory. All right. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. So we just don't boast in the fact that we're moving to glory, but can we boast about God through our suffering? In other words, when stuff ain't going right, do we still boast about our God? Or do we do like I often do for transparency and say, and this is my confession. Why me, Lord? Why? Because I'm going through some stuff. I know what God said, but you don't understand. You don't understand what's really going on. You really don't understand what's going on. My kid, you know, I mean, I come out of these times of sharing and hearing from God. And the next thing I know, my kids acting crazy. Mm-hmm. Stuff going haywire. It's just like, why is it everything I do? I mean, what? I mean, what the heck is happening here? Oh, that's called the trying of your faith. That is designed to work patience in you. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Then we won't be buckling all the time. I'm not saying y'all buckle. I do. We wouldn't buckle all the time. Say this. I mean, God, I read right here, and God actually spoke to me and said, this is what he was going to do. And everything I see is contrary to what God said he was going to do. Well, when are you going to do it, Lord? And God says, listen, as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow thereof, and it doesn't return, what does it do? It goes forth and it waters the earth so that the earth can bring forth and bud, so there be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So is my word. It will not return unto me void, which simply means God says, if I say something, that word is not going to come back to me, having not done what I commanded it to do. Huh. You don't believe me? Go back and read Genesis chapter 1 again. In the beginning,
God said.
God said. He released his word and creation came into being. This is the story. You see how this is kind of setting up here? So this thing opens up with Genesis and it just flows on down. It's like, wow. Now, Paul is writing to us about how we fit into the story. All right. So we rejoice. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory. But not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering, it will produce endurance in us. And then that endurance will produce character. This is called being transformed into the image of Christ. This really happens. So the stuff that we go through, God knows what we're going through.
Yes.
But he says, I'm with you in the midst, and I'm going to do for you exactly what I said in my word I'm going to do. So don't look at your circumstances. Look at my word. Mm-hmm. Is it easy? Not all the time. Not all the time. It's not. It's not always easy. But God, remember, is righteous. He's just. He's going to do the right thing. Character produces hope. Hope doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God's what?
Love.
God's love has been poured into our hearts by what?
Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit?
Within us.
He's in us. So God's not just with us. He's in us. This is good news.
Yes, it is.
This is good. You all right over this, Sister Vashti?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. While we were still weak, King James says, while we were still, what's the next word?
Without strength.
When we were still without strength, when we were still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for who?
The ungodly.
The ungodly. This is the love of God. He died for the ungodly. Indeed, you know, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
He died for us when we was all jacked up. He died for us when we didn't believe there was a God. We weren't thinking about God.
I sure wasn't.
We was thinking about the next party, the next paycheck. Whatever it was our thing. That's what we was waiting on. Well, that's when Christ died for you. Now, much more surely than now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God? Yeah. So there is a wrath of God, but that's not part of my connection with God. It's not his wrath, it's his love. Because I believed him, what he said in his word. If when we were still enemies, I mean, this alone should like bring people into a whole different kind of relationship with Christ. When they think about what is Christianity? What is it all about? I mean, this alone, when we were enemies, we were reconciled. We were brought back together through the death of his son. And when did this happen? Oh, when you was still a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Christ died for you. In fact, and I say this a lot, God doesn't love us because we accepted him. That's not why he loves us. He doesn't love us because we decided to get saved. No, we got saved because God loved us. This is what he did. We're just responding to what he did. So everything that we do after that is the result of the fact we believe God. I hope I'm not overcomplicating this. So we were enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, we're going to be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Can I read the first couple of verses of the next chapter? And I promise I'll be done. I gotta read these. Therefore, based on everything that I just said, therefore, based on everything that he just said, Paul is saying, just as sin came into the world through one man, who's that one man?
Adam.
Adam. Sin came into the world through one man. People outside of Christ people outside of Christ aren't sinners because they sin. They sin because they're sinners. You want me to say it again, Holly? I know Holly. I know Holly. I know my little sister. People are not sinners because they sin.
They sin because they sin.
Despite that's basically what we've told them. You smoke, you smoke, you drink, you chew, and you run around with other people who do. So you're a sinner. So it's based on what they do. It's their behavior. And we say, you know, that makes you a sinner. No. No. They're sinners. Therefore, they sin. Because everything brings forth after its own kind. According to Genesis 1. Adam can only produce what Adam is. Adam fell into sin. Anything that comes out of Adam can only be what Adam is. Adam was a sinner. Everybody that came out of Adam was born a sinner.
Born in sin.
It has nothing to do with what they do. What they do is because of what they are. So the world grew wicked under Noah. Because that's what they were. So the behaviors demonstrated what they were. Their actions demonstrated what they were. Their works demonstrated what they were. It's not their works that made them what they were. Is everybody with me? Because I think this is another area where we have been majorly messed up. Because we're sin conscious. Who did Jesus hang around?
Sinners.
He had no issue being around them because he understood that's what you are. So I'm not even going to judge you. He didn't judge sinners. This is a different reading of the New Testament, isn't it? Jesus didn't judge sinners. He judged sin, yes. But he hung out with sinners to give them the good news. Oh, you can be free. I know you're a leper. You can be healed. What do you mean I can be healed? You can be healed. Be healed. Just go your way. Show yourself to the priest. And as he went, he was healed. Well, what did he do? He believed the word. How do we know? Because he did what he was told to do. That's the faith of Abraham. Is this connecting any dots?
Whole bunch of them.
All right, here we go. So just as, because it gets better. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death came through sin, so death spread to all because all have sinned. Because all were in Adam. Adam can only produce, glory to God, what Adam was. Sin was indeed in the world before the law. Right? Sin was in the world before the law. Before Mount Sinai, sin was in the world. That's why no law can save. But sin is not reckoned, it's not accounted to people when there is no law. So God wasn't even really holding the judgment against the people that lived and existed before the law. You say he wasn't? No. It says sin is not reckoned or accounted or attributed when there is no law. Well, there was no law. So God even dealt with them before the law on the basis of grace and righteousness. But that's not how we read the Old Testament scripture. We read the Old Testament scripture and think God was ticked off with everybody. Oh, but the Jesus that we read about in the gospel, oh, he's so different. And God just would not, you know, God just would not tolerate just how wicked man was. Because this God, you got to appease this angry God. Because God is mad at the world. He's so mad. But he does love us, though. He does love us. But he's really mad. So because he loved us, he sent his son so he could punish his son. Because he loved us, so he punished his son. Because he loved us. That's not the gospel. No. The gospel is God loves us so much.
That he gave.
He gave.
His only son.
His only begotten son.
And the son said he laid down his life and nobody took it from him, but he did.
That's what he said.
Yep.
Nobody takes my life. I lay it down. Mm-hmm. Well, how could he do that? I'm going to get to that. Oh, this is good. But death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a figure or type of the one who is to come. Who's the one that was to come?
Jesus.
So Adam was a type of Jesus? I'm going to say what I got to say, and I'm not even going to read the rest of this, because what I'm about to say, some of y'all have heard it, some of you haven't, but I'm going to drop it, and I'm going to leave it, and this is going to be it. Adam was a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. How is he a type of Christ? Ooh.
He was Adam.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. Let's go, Hugh, Lawrence, Justine, because those are the voices that I've heard, I think.
He's without you. Sin.
He
was without sin, cloaked
in. Was Adam without sin?
Before he sinned. So he was the first man. And was, Jesus is the...
Was he without sin?
In the beginning.
Adam. So in the beginning, he was without sin. Then he fell. Now he had sin. Okay. So, and he's a type of Christ. So Jesus was without sin at one point, but then he sinned.
Sure.
So that's what Adam did.
So because the woman had eaten of the apple, Adam loved the woman so much that he willingly ate of the apple, because he knew that the story in the Bible, he would have to fall in order to redeem her and to restore the church, the woman. And that's why we are the bride of Christ. And the only way to do that is for him to willingly fall in order to redeem us.
Very good. Everybody get that? Mm-hmm. Let me summarize what he said. When Eve sinned, Adam knew the only way he can be rejoined to his wife, he has to enter into her transgression. But God had told him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That was what God's word was to Adam. The woman transgressed. Now what Adam going to do? He know he has this word from God. And what God said is going to come to pass. But now he's separated from his wife. So he enters into her transgression, believing God will make a way out.
Wow. Awesome.
Is that what Jesus did?
Yes.
Yes. But we see this even in Adam and Eve. The gospel starts in the book of Genesis, not Matthew. We just don't know how to read it and connect it. Remember, Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. Do you think before he ran from the voice of God, him and God had some conversations? Because he knew the voice of God, because he heard the sound of the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He knew what God sounded like because he had communion and fellowship with God. So he knew God was righteous. He knew God was faithful. He entered into her transgression willingly, just like Jesus entered into our sin willingly, believing if he did it, his Father would resurrect him from the dead. Jesus lived by faith. I'm talking about the Jesus of the scriptures now, though. I'm not talking about the Jesus that we heard about so frequently. I'll stop there. I can't. I got to read the next few. But the free gift. So we talked about Adam, the free gift of God that we've been talking about, the righteousness and faith, grace, all of that, the glory. If many people die through one man's trespass, because remember, when Adam sinned, he can only produce what he is. So Adam sinned, everything that came out of Adam is what Adam was, a sinner, right? That's through Adam, the first man. Much more surely has the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. If the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass, just one, Adam just did one thing wrong, one trespass, but it brought condemnation. The free gift that follows is coming after many trespasses. So what Jesus is about to do is the result of not one trespass. He's taking on the trespasses of the entire human species. So many, how many of them were yours?
Jesus.
See, this has to become personal. That's why we say he died for me. It's my sin that put them there. Not the atheists, not the drunkards, not the homosexuals, not, you know, the way we preach this, the way we teach this. No, it's my sin that put him there. He died for me. Okay. So if because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, well, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise, watch this next word, dominion in life. Your version may say reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. Because all humanity is either in Adam or they're in Christ. Because the only thing Christ can produce is what Christ is. Just like, well, y'all looking at me like, Daryl, I don't know how you're coming up with that. I'm just reading what's there. Adam produced what he was, and so did Jesus. And it's a free gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it.
Don't get mad, get free.
Don't get mad. Get free. Because he's made you free. And it's interesting that he says, by receiving the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they're going to reign in life, meaning they're going to exercise dominion in their life. Well, what did God say to Adam? You're going to have what over the earth?
Dominion.
What Jesus got back was our dominion, our rule, our power,
come on,
our standing with the Father. But so often we like our fathers in the wilderness. I'm just a grasshopper. I'm just trying to hold on just a little while longer.
Mama.
Climbing up the rough side.
Out of the mountain.
Out of the mountain. It's the next verse that kills me. I'm doing my best.
Best to make it.
To make it in. And our best just ain't good enough.
Good enough. That's right.
This is the opening of the book of Romans. And we'll pick up there next week. That should be enough for you to ponder. Any questions?
Now that verse that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity makes a whole lot of sense.
Exactly. That's what it's talking about. That's why all of those Old Testament laws and the stuff in the prophets and Job and all of that stuff, all of that is pointing to the human condition. I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. So the cry of the psalmist becomes, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Well, how does that happen? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's created in us a clean heart, and he's renewed a right spirit in us. That's the work of, that's what being born again is about. It's not about getting religious. Now I go to church. I didn't go before, but now I do. No, so Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Why? Because you was born wrong out of Adam. You were born wrong. God know that. That's why he ain't mad at you. He know we mess up. He said, bless their heart. They can't help it. So I'm going to help them. But we think every time we mess up, I got to... We even train our kids that way. God don't like ugly. You do that, God gonna come. God gonna get you. You better not say that. God gonna get you. We literally raise our kids that way. Many of us were raised that way. We look at God like we look at Santa Claus. He knows if you've been. Y'all know the story. So you better be good just for goodness sake. Because if you're not, Santa not going to leave you no presents. And we bring that into our relationship with God. If we don't do everything right, we ain't going to get no present. That's why we always trying to do something to please God. God says, stop trying to please me. You already pleased me. What do you mean? You believed me. A lot of folk don't believe me. They believe about me, but they don't believe me. Okay, somebody was trying to say something. Was it Brandon?
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm stuck at the description of what you had mentioned with Adam seeing that Eve had transgressed, but knowing the word of God, that he had to kind of believe that there would be salvation down the road, knowing that he basically had to, you know, coincide with Eve. That I'm kind of stuck on that. I'll be very honest with you. That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's one of those things. That's one of those tidbits that you got to chew on and take it to God. Because it's like what? Say what? Because even when we think of Adam, we think of Adam like an Al Bundy, Archie Bunker kind of guy, just fumbling around and bumbling around. No. Just to show you how keen, y'all give me 5 minutes. Just to show y'all how keen Adam's understanding was. Can I show you something? One other thing. Genesis chapter 1, just to show you Adam in a little different light. Or Genesis chapter 2. And this is when, now let's see if this sounds familiar. The man gave names to all cattle, birds of the air, every animal of the field, but for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And let me ask you a question. Where did Eve come from?
Dead rib out of Adam.
Okay, she came from a rib. She came out of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Would everybody agree?
Mm-hmm.
He put Adam to sleep, and then out of Adam, he gave and brought a helper. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Then the man said, this is Adam.
Yes.
This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, which is just a man with a womb. God got one man. Some of them got wombs. Never mind. For out of man, this woman was taken. Therefore, a man is going to leave his mother and father, and he's going to cling to his wife, and they're going to become
one flesh.
Who said that?
Adam.
Adam said that. Now flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at the verse that talks about women being subject to their husband. And I want to show you how we have mangled that verse of scripture and literally beat women down. Ephesians chapter 5. If I can find it. There it is. All right. Everybody there? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I promise you, this will be worth you hanging in here. He says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. I think your translations probably say, what does it say? Wives, what?
Submit.
Submit yourself.
Submit yourself.
Oh, boy.
To your husband, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the body, or head of the church, the body of which is he's the Savior. So just as the church is subject to Christ, in everything, let wives be subject to their own husbands. But I want you to go down to verse 29. It said, no one ever hates his own body. He nourishes it and he cares for it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, Paul says, a man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. What did Paul say? Paul said, for this reason, a man is going to leave his father and mother and going to be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's what Paul said. But who is Paul quoting?
Adam.
He's quoting Adam. So there's something going on here with Adam that Paul picks up on, because Paul references what Adam said the same way he referenced all the prophets of the Old Testament. He took what Adam said and applied it to Christ in the church. Well, of course he did, because Adam is a figure of the one who is to come, who is Christ. Adam's making a prophetic declaration. For this cause, Adam's speaking prophetically at this point in dealing with Eve. Paul picks it up. You say, well, how can you say that, Daryl? Verse 32, this is a great mystery.
Mystery.
But I speak about Christ and the church.
Yes.
Christ and the church are in the very opening chapters of the book of Genesis.
My God.
And people have the audacity to teach the Old Testament didn't say anything about the church. It was talking about Israel. Not so. Adam had insight into the purpose of God. Before he fell, he was not a dummy.
That's good.
He's not a dummy. And this is what he's opening up in the letters. But we take that and we just preach it, women. Subject. Because we miss the mystery of the gospel. And it's all through the Old Testament. Romans is just kind of like opening it up. The piece on Ephesians, I just figured I'd put a little bit of icing on the cake. Any questions before I dismiss class? I will hang out for a couple minutes afterward. Cha, did you get my last message?
I did. Huh? I did.
Okay. All right. Did you get in?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. All right. Good to see you. Well, good to hear you.
Thank you. I'm doing it from my phone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'll do at this point is I will go ahead and dismiss class if there are no questions relative to what we talked about. And then, as I said, I'll hang out for a few after in case anybody has anything that they want to, you know, ask afterward, kind of when we have a conversation. you know, I'll hang out for a little bit tonight. All right, so everybody good? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. And then anybody that wants to hang out for a little bit, I'm going to hang out. Father, we thank you so much for the spirit of truth, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And Father, we thank you for the time that we were able just to come together and read your word. And Father, I pray for everyone here individually that these things that were talked about tonight, especially, Father, that they would find good soil, that they would take root and bring forth and bud. Father, just help us all to understand the simplicity of the gospel, though many times it seems like it's deep. But Father, we know it's the simplicity, once it is revealed by your spirit, that we begin to understand something about the depths of your love. And so, Father, let the spirit of wisdom and revelation go with each person here. Let it, from this night forth, if not before, let it open the eyes of their understanding that they might see the power of the gospel. We speak healing, deliverance for those who are in need, for those who have family and friends who stand in need. Father, we send a word. We send a word. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty. So we'll go ahead and dismiss class. Thanks for hanging out. Have a blessed week. If you need anything, let me know. Everybody has my email and other contact information. And have a blessed week. Bye-bye. All righty then. Let's see.